The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hello, friends. The gates to the Rose Garden are open. Welcome back to the show. This season is dedicated to origin stories and understanding the power of our journeys. Have you ever heard the phrase that a stranger is a friend that you haven't met yet? Well, on today's episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by a woman that I met in a social media training, but stranger no more. She is such a dear friend. Felicia Simpson. This brilliant woman is a creative force, a mission-driven mover and shaker, and a visual storyteller. And today, we're learning about her origin story and why life motivates her to write. Hey, Felicia.
Hey, girl.
How are you today?
I am doing so well.
Where are you currently?
I am currently in New Orleans, Louisiana, aka NOLA.
And where are you from?
Chicago, the illustrious Chicago, Illinois.
So let's start from the very beginning. When I met Felicia, it was, maybe about 10 years ago, maybe like 2010. I was working at a job and I signed up for some professional development. And the professional development was a social media training. So I went to this social media training and I think we were at the same table. And I, at the time, felt like I really knew Twitter. I felt like I knew Twitter. I would be tweeting with my friends. We would be having little sessions, just going back and forth on Twitter. And I told Felicia, like, girl, you got to get on Twitter.
Yes.
And now you ain't never left.
Unfortunately and fortunately, so I grew with the times.
How have you, tell us about who you are and how you started establishing and launching your brand from going to that Twitter training and learning what it meant to tweet. And now you have an entire website and magazine, books that you've written, all of this stuff. So tell us about your origin story and how you got started launching your brand.
So just like you mentioned, with us meeting, it was, you know, something not expected. Of course, I wasn't expected to be in a relationship where I would be abused. And so I was looking for an outlet outside of that relationship. What I didn't have any friends at the time. I didn't go anywhere. I was just only in that relationship. So I was looking for an outlet, and work was the first part of it. I was allowed in that relationship to go to work, but I couldn't have a social life. So when I went to work, went to that training, you introduced me to a social life via Twitter. Once I got on Twitter, I was like, oh my God, this is fun. This is exciting. There's a community of people who are like-minded and we have fun and I want more of this. It became like a good addiction. And then you invited me to social gatherings and I actually got to meet the people that I was tweeting all the time, and we had this like whole little community and vibe going on. And so my brand initially probably started from just that. I wanted to be a new person and I didn't know where to start, how to begin. And so just being open to this new community that I've been logged into and created an account for to engage with, it kind of started the brand, and it took away from people only seeing me as a domestic violence victim or a domestic violence survivor. So even down to my brand name is my government name. It's not nothing fancy. It's just Felicia T. Simpson. And the reason why I use the T is because it separates me. When I first Googled Felicia Simpson, dentists came up, doctors came up, and all kind of people came up. But there wasn't a Felicia T. Simpson. And so I knew, in order to separate myself and have my own identity for my brand, I had to include that middle initial. And when you speak that name now, 10 years later, it's authentic. You know, whatever you're coming to for Felicia T. Simpson, it's going to be a social gathering. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be like it was back then on Twitter. It's going to be something enjoyable with Felicia T. Simpson. You're not going to be bored. You know, you're going to feel like you are involved in every aspect. So that's really the basis or the origin of my brand. It is Twitter.
Gotta love Twitter and how Twitter has grown and changed and evolved over time. You mentioned as you were establishing your brand with Felicia T. Simpson, that's not how it was started when it began. How did you find your voice? You kind of hinted at the relationship status that you were in when this all kind of began and you transformed and changed into who you are now. Tell us about that.
So back then, I really was just trying to find myself. So I was trying to find what does Felicia like? Who is Felicia? I was so accustomed to being what my husband at the time wanted me to be and who he wanted me to be and the way he wanted me to operate. It was like being a puppet. So once that string is cut off, okay, now what? Now who are you? What, you're no longer connected to that, you know, group of people that he hung out with. You're no longer, you know, doing your day-to-day activities for the sake of his well-being. Now you have to worry about yourself. And so I started taking myself out on dates. I started just being open to my environments, putting myself in new environments, even though I was afraid. I'm an introvert. Nobody ever believes that. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. But I believe that because of the things that I'm willing to do unafraid, it makes me an extrovert. So I just started reading, looking online for new things and exciting things to do. If everybody's going left, Felicia wants to go right. And that's where I always find my new discoveries. I don't hop on trends unless it's a trend with a cause. And that has really helped me grow as an entrepreneur, as a creative, just me individually as a person, as a mom, as a partner, as a just Black woman some days. I'm never afraid to just get myself out there and discover a new me, which was what I named my foundation. Because it was exactly that. It was a new Felicia that not only I had to introduce to the world, everybody had to be reintroduced to me because they had only known me again as a victim, as, you know, this person who solely depended upon her parents. And she's a young mother and she don't know what that is. So she's very ignorant in a lot of areas. So I just rediscovered myself over and over and over again.
Come on for the rediscovering of myself over and over and over again. You mentioned your foundation, so let's talk about the different projects that Felicia Simpson has created. How many books have you written?
I believe 4. I think in my mind it's 5. I just can't remember the 5th title because I was creating them back to back. It's probably 4 published and 1 still in the, you know, USB somewhere. But in my mind, in my gut, I believe it is 5.
What have you written about?
The first book was called God Do I Hear Wedding Bells? And basically, I did not sit down and say, I'm going to be an author, I'm going to write a book. During one of my domestic violence incidents, I stayed with like a big sister. She was kind of my mentor. And she said, I think you need to write your story. And I was like, what story? And she was like, write about the things that you've experienced, the things that you're going through. It might help somebody. So I just got a piece of notebook paper. It wasn't even a spiral notebook. It was just notebook paper. And I started writing. And she turned that manuscript into a retired English teacher who edited it. And from there, they was like, oh, we think you need to turn this into a book. And so people helped me raise funds to get it published and printed and all of those things that come with, you know, putting together a book. So I take full credit for the work, but I never take full credit for just the idea itself. And then from there, I was like, oh, okay, I like this. Let me write something else. And so books just kept flowing in that season. And then I'll let you finish.
No, because life is motivating you to write. So I'm going to ask about all the projects. So we got our books. What about plays and shows?
So that's my biggest, like, I'm smiling now because I'm a visual content creator. I love creating visuals. So for me, writing books was cool. I loved it. I'm a storyteller naturally. And so I wanted to see those stories come to life. And so when I put my books on the stage in the theater, that was like the biggest impact I felt like I ever had with my audience and with my community. I've written 4 plays and produced and directed 4 plays. And in those plays, I was except for being an actress, and in some of them I did little cameos, but I played every part in producing those plays. I was the sound engineer, I was the director, I was the producer, I was the marketing, I was the secretary, I was fixing everybody coffee. Like, I had every role you could think of for those plays, and that, to me, is the best out of everything I've ever created, to me. Now, people might say other things I created because I create so much, but to me, that's just where I get my joy. That was my hum as a creator back then.
What about your organization? You mentioned A New Me, because you know in my heart, I call you Felicia A New Me. So what is A New Me?
So A New Me Foundation stemmed from me being a survivor, the role I played when I was a survivor of domestic violence. My ex-husband, he is deceased. And so I didn't even know I was in a domestic violence situation until I went to a training to volunteer at a domestic violence shelter. That was one of the requirements. And so sitting there being trained on domestic violence, I was like, well, wait a minute, this is what I'm going through. Wait, this is what he does. Okay, hold on. So I said, well, if I didn't know I was going through this, I can only imagine how many other people either don't know that they're going through it or don't know what to do in it. So I made sure I became I call myself a life advocate of domestic violence. I don't care what I'm creating, no matter what I'm doing in life, I will always advocate for victims and survivors of domestic violence. And so A New Me just was like a mobile resource for victims and survivors. If some days I would get calls, hey, my niece is going through a situation, or she just got put out, or she just, you know, got beat up by her boyfriend, what do we do? A lot of people wasn't comfortable calling shelters and calling other mainstream resources. So they would call little old Felicia T. Simpson and ask, you know, these personal questions, these hard questions. Some women would come to my house and be broken, battered, and abused. And, you know, I would provide shelter for them. So I would just say A New Me just was that mobile place that I could provide resources to those women and children who were victims and survivors of domestic violence.
And definitely creating the space for us to talk about it. So yeah. When I met Felicia, I just said like, hey, this is a woman and she looks like we should be friends. Never ever knew where that friendship would take us, and certainly never knew about the conversations we would have. We met in this training because my background was, at that time, I think like sexual health outreach and education. So when we talk about just supporting different communities and working with different groups of women, that's how we came together. So I never had such an intimate look at, speaking of intimate partner violence, domestic violence, understanding all of that, because like you said, sitting through a training, it's amazing how we can go through experiences and not recognize the trauma that we are going through because we're trying to survive the experience. So like to be sitting in that and saying like, so this is what domestic violence is, this is what some of the indicators look like, and realizing like, man, this is what I'm going through, and also this is what people in my community, neighborhood, and family, they're going through too. So even our friendship helped us to create this safe space where we were understanding and being educated on some of the real challenges that exist because we didn't know.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the second component of A New Me Foundation. It grew into, from one, being a emergency first responder to now let's raise awareness and education. So I did a lot of volunteering events so that people, family members can see, you know, we volunteer, let's say at the homeless shelter, they saw, well, some victims become homeless because they have left their partner, and now they're afraid to talk to you, the family member. And so they rather, instead of talking to you about the situation, they'd rather go live in this homeless shelter and on this wing where the women are, who are also victims, and volunteering show people, you know, let's minimize the judgment. Let's not think all victims are just black eyes and bruises. It kind of helped educate and, again, raise awareness. It helped start that dialogue for people to talk about what's actually going on in the house, because with domestic violence, we're always taught what goes on in this house stays in this house. You better not say nothing. I'm going to kill you if you say something. And sometimes that silence is what is actually the killer. It's not even the black eyes. It's not even the bruises. It's just you didn't tell somebody something was going on, and then you came home and he was sitting in the dark with a shotgun and shot you. So enough of those stories in my life, I couldn't sit down, because that could have been me. I always think that that could be, it could still be me. I don't think that I'm exempt from it to this day because I survived from it. It's something that is lifelong. It's a lifestyle to me. You have to survive continuously, all the time. And it's learning. You know, domestic violence 10 years ago was different than today.
Yes.
10 years ago, there was no social media. There was, you know, laws had to be put in place because people were being cyber-stalked and bullied that way. At first, it was just, oh, everything just happens at home and occasionally out in the streets. So the education and the awareness has to change with the time. And I've learned that.
It's almost like a life skill to be aware of how your interpersonal relationships affect other people. So
Yeah. You
and the relationships you have with people, but also what is happening to you, mm-hmm. and if it's healthy or if it's not healthy, and being aware of that, because we did not, especially 10 years ago, talk about this freely. For us to choose to sit together on a Friday night and be like, so what can we do to raise awareness about this cause? Like, that's just not something that was done. But because of our friendship and our connectedness, that's how we got, because you did have events. And I remember going to them, your family would come. And it's amazing how your story and your friends encouraging you to take that notebook paper and write your story. Because I'm sure if your mom and dad knew what was happening, you know, like, they would not have just, well, Felicia, figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And they get asked that all the time. Well, what did you do back then? And a lot of it was Felicia's decision. I know, because they were my parents, you know, my father back then, he's even older now, but back then he was, you know, an older man. And he said it one day, he said, what do I look like going out here to fight this man? And she keep going back to him. You know, sometimes you can pull this person out the situation, but they're going to keep coming back. And that's just the cycles of violence that you learn. You know, a person, you could take a person to safety, but if that's not their choice, they will go back, and they'll go back repeatedly. So a lot of times they, as parents, had to step away and say, you know what, we have to allow her to sit in this decision that she has made, because we've provided safety for her many a times. Once we found out about it, we've tried to talk to him, we've talked to her, and these two keep doing what they want to do. So at some point, as parents, you have to, you know, step back and put your hands up and say, okay, well, God, you take this, or whoever, you know, you kumbaya to, you take the wheel, and I'm going to let her be. So, you know, it wasn't something easy for them to do. I could never imagine, and as I always look back on those moments, as a parent, I'm a parent, so I know, you know, your children are going to do things that you don't necessarily agree with, but it's certain things that you just can't control. So we've all grown, you know, obviously 10 years later from that. It's heartwarming. And that's what also connected us. A lot of times I'm distant. And like I said, I'm an introvert and I'm shy. So I don't come around just naturally because that's who I am. But that brought us closer. That brought up conversations that we needed to have. We talked about things that I saw as a kid in my past with my parents and within my family and, you know, both sides of the family. So it wasn't all bad. It was some learning, some growing, and just some healing and forgiving.
Come on, healing. And talk about healing and how all of this has come together. Your magazine and your website. So from writing the stories and from publishing the books and from seeing the books on the stage, now we get a magazine.
Exactly. I don't know what it is about me and creating, but at some point I wanted to come off the paper and I wanted to come to life. I think that's kind of like, I would call it a theme that I go by. So with the blogs, yeah, okay, it's cool. I'm doing photo shoots and, you know, I'm working with brands and, you know, they sending me products and some of them are paying me to, you know, talk about these products. And I want to do something more, or, you know, everybody's blogging now. So again, everybody's over here. Felicia wants to go over there. So I looked around, I said, well, nobody's creating a magazine. Or they say print is outdated now. So nobody's printing a magazine. If they're doing it, it's all digital. Felicia want to go back to the beginning. Let's do print. So the magazine was actually a mixture of, or is actually a mixture of my blog posts that you might not saw when I posted it on social media to let you know, hey, I got a new blog post. So I brought those to print, and then I also included, because I love Black women and collaborating with other Black women, maybe they have some expertise that I don't have. I know a woman that travels all the time. Felicia likes staying in the house, but I have my audience who love traveling. So I brought a traveling writer to the magazine. Everybody want to get their money together. You know, I'm not a personal finance guru, so I brought a woman in that could talk about budgeting and personal finance and even business and being an entrepreneur, how to get your coins as an entrepreneur. So I brought all of these women into the magazine, and then I love supporting Black-owned businesses. So that's when I created the ad spaces. I don't want you to just come to my magazine about me, 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 me. I want you to see other women. I want you to support small businesses that don't get your big guru shouting them out every day on social media. It's this a little company that's doing big things. They making handmade candles and body sprays or whatever they're doing. And the masses might not know about it. So I want to share their product and their services with my audience. And so that's really how the magazine came about.
So what barriers have you experienced on your journey?
Ooh, moving to a new city, thinking you could do everything you did in your old city.
Ooh, that's real. That's real.
So I left Chicago in the, I would say, the height of my career as a creative. I was on a emotional high. I was on a creative high. And I, thankfully, you know, by the grace of God, an opportunity came through career-wise in New Orleans. And so I took it. And so the creative side had to take a back burner so that I can get acclimated to New Orleans. And I said, okay, well, I know me. If I could do it in Chicago, I know I could do it here. And that was not the case. The barrier was just new city. In this city, they're not, I'm not going to say, they're film creative. It's all about film. It's not about theater. So me trying to produce plays in a city that's known for film, that's a barrier. Trying to locate actresses that live in the same radius as the theater. You know, I was getting actors coming from cross state lines. And so trying to do rehearsals, that was problematic. So just understanding where I'm at and what's the culture there, and that's not the lane you're operating in, that was the barrier for me.
What is your greatest accomplishment thus far?
I am a mother, so I have to say the cheering first. I'll be having to sleep with my eyes open if I don't say them first. My children are my biggest accomplishment, but I will always say my plays. To date, nothing has topped my plays. They are my biggest accomplishment.
Love them all.
All of them. Love them all, monologues, all of them. All of them.
And what future dreams do you have for your brand besides working with Tyler Perry?
I want to be like a Tyler Perry, like Junior. I want like a hub or a headquarters or some type of institute, academy for creatives. I want it to be like a one-stop shop for creatives. I want a big building that, you know, if you want to write, you can come and write. If you want to be a photographer, you can come shoot. We're going to have a studio for you to practice or bring your clients in and shoot. Just anything creative. I just want that one big space, kind of like Tyler Perry Studios. I just want this big acres of land like him, and just, you know, have it for creatives that again, might not always be in the spotlight, might not get that big chance, but they just want to come and practice their skills or perfect their skills or be introduced to the skills.
Promise me that once you get your Felicia T. Simpson Institute, that when the plays are back, that you will invest in your wig budget for your actors. That's the one thing we're going to do different than Tyler.
Yes. I already have a blueprint. I already have, like, sketched out in my journal. I have what the space going to look like. So it got to be coming because I mapped it out. So I'm just waiting on, you know, in Jesus' time when he ready.
It's coming. How have you grown personally since you began this entrepreneurial journey from Felicia Anumi to Felicia T. Simpson? How have you really grown since you've started establishing your brand?
Definitely patience with myself. I never had patience. I am a creative that, and it's, sometimes it's a hindrance. I'm a creative that if I think it, I'm going to do it. And I don't allow nothing to just grow. And so just having patience as an entrepreneur, because you will need it. I don't care nothing about Instagram photos that show, you know, entrepreneurship is just this amazing journey. If you listen to all the big ones, they'll tell you, well, I didn't start making money till like year 10. And so those of us who are in year 1 and 2, we on the struggle bus. I create all this content and maybe 2 people like it. So just having patience that, you know, you're not going to be it, do everything, have everything year 1. You just got to be patient and keep doing the work and keep being consistent.
Keep doing the work and keep being consistent. I fully agree. So let's talk about doing the work and being consistent. Let's talk about our social media days and what it means to really be a content creator in a social media world. I did an episode with a woman named Audrey, who is the founder of Hall Pass Education. And she said, consistency is king, but content is queen. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about this king and queen duo. As a content creator and expert storyteller, in one sentence, tell us your thoughts on how a person can use the following platforms to help engage their audience. We got to start with our common bond, Twitter.
Twitter, you can educate your audience on the updated news in your industry.
Okay. What about Facebook?
Facebook, you can connect and engage with your audience on a deeper and personal level.
Okay, what about Snapchat? I'm so lost with Snapchat.
If you got a younger audience, if your target audience is the young people, you definitely want to be on Snapchat. Or if you have an event and you want to customize your social media content, then you can create those exotic filters through Snapchat.
What about TikTok?
Again, if you have a younger audience or if you want to connect with a child, you know, child of yours, or sometimes young grade school, middle school, definitely use TikTok. TikTok is the thing right now for young people. How they're connecting with our generation. Let me add that. TikTok is, you'll see younger kids asking their aunties, their mamas, hey, let's, you know, create a TikTok video together. So it's bridging the gap of the generations.
Okay, TikTok, build that bridge. What about Pinterest?
Pinterest, if you want to go global with your brand, you want to use Pinterest. Pinterest is a search engine, first and foremost. So if you want people to know about you and know what you're doing, know what you're selling, know what services you're providing globally, you want to be on Pinterest.
And what about LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, if you want to showcase your expertise and you want to be the expert in your industry, you want to connect with other experts on LinkedIn.
Come on, Felicia T. Simpson, giving us this coaching, giving us this feedback and this structure on how, for any creative storyteller or creative entrepreneur, how these different layers and entities work together to build this brand. What words of wisdom or advice do you have for aspiring writers or photographers or creative entrepreneurs?
I would say just create, just write, and just take pictures. I don't go by the aspiring because you can do it. It's in you. You don't have to aspire to do anything. It's in you. If it's been placed inside of you, that's the seed. And so water it and let it grow. I've never went to school for photography, but I've made thousands of dollars in photography in a matter of 6 months, and might I add, during a global pandemic. But I just took a hobby of mine and monetized it. And I like, some people say my passion project, because I have a lot of them. If you want to write, again, I told you, somebody just handed me some notebook paper and said, write your story. I became an author. So I never aspired to do anything. I just did it. And I think that that's the one thing that keep a lot of people back. They want to think or have it all the, you know, pieces together before they do something. And yes, the first time you do it, it might be a hit and it might be a miss, but you will never know. There's nothing to measure if you just keep aspiring to do it. So that's my one. That's my one, if only one and only advice I have.
Do it.
You got to do the work. Keep looking at everybody else. You can't keep taking all the classes. You can't keep reading all the books. You got to eventually get out there and do it.
Even afraid.
Yes. And can I give one analogy that was given to me? I'll never forget. At the time, I had a financial advisor. She's very great now in the stock market on educating people about, you know, stocks. Her name is Ashley M. Fox. Ashley told me, Felicia, it's just like the game of basketball. You can't keep practicing on Saturday in a park by yourself. Eventually, in order to call yourself a basketball player, you got to get out there in the game. You got to do something. You got to play with other people. You got to learn. You got to make mistakes. So I've always used that analogy whenever I want to do something. Either you're going to sit and practice by yourself and keep aspiring to do it, or you're going to actually put your tennis shoes on or gym shoes. You know, we're from Chicago.
Right.
Put your shoes on and get out there and play.
Come on, let's play. Where can people connect with you and follow you and support your different projects?
So I live on Instagram. I'm on the gram, Felicia T. Simpson. All my social media is Felicia T. Simpson. If you want to read my blogs, look at the services I provide, is www.FeliciaTSimpson.com. Everywhere you want to find me is FeliciaTSimpson.com. I am not on Snapchat because my audience isn't the teeny boppers, so I'm on probably everything else but TikTok and Snapchat.
And I'm sure the 2-year-old, who's probably now the 12-year-old.
Yes, he's grown.
Is going to get you on TikTok soon enough. So thank you so much for sharing your story, Felicia, and telling us, like you said, it's not even about being aspiring. Just do it. Mm-hmm. We putting on our gym shoes and we getting out there and we doing it. So thank you, Felicia, for coming to the show. The gates to the Rose Garden are open. It's been so nice speaking with you. And guys, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.